You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lily Ann Reinhart. I'm a senior. I'm a part of the Ignited class, which is the best. And today I get to tell you a little bit about student stories in chapel. I get to be this year's student stories ministry intern, which is a really cool way of getting to know students on campus just like you. Today we get to hear from a couple of those students. My favorite thing about my job is giving you all an opportunity and a platform to speak about how the Lord has impacted your life. These student stories have been immensely impactful for me and my life. I know I've gotten the privilege of being able to share my testimony here, and I'm also supposed to be doing a little bit of advertisement, so if you ever feel like the Lord is putting it on your heart to share your testimony, please get in contact with me. I'd love to get coffee with you and sit and hear your story and give you an opportunity and a space to share it with the people around us. Today we have two speakers who have been so willing and obedient. They have heard the call that the Lord has put on their heart, and they have said yes to sharing with you all. So my prayer today is that you all open your hearts to receive this. They are being vulnerable, and they are saying yes, and they are posturing themselves to uplift you all. A Bible verse that comes into my mind when thinking of student stories is 2 Corinthians 3. 2-6, and it says, "You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." These stories have been written on the hearts of both Angel and Emma, and we pray that you all have a story as well, a story to share and uplift others around you. God calls us to go out and be disciples, and I pray that each one of you takes a moment to share with other people. I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to introduce both Angel and Emma to speak. Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, I'm just so grateful to be here today with these people. God, I'm grateful for both Emma and Angel. Thank you for their willingness to share and to tell others about how you have impacted their lives. Lord, I pray that you would lead them and guide them. God, I pray that you would fill them with peace and that your love would pass over them. God, I pray that your Spirit would fall onto this room. Lord Jesus, that lives would be changed from these stories and that hearts would turn to obedience towards you. God, I'm so grateful that you have led us into a new week. I pray that you would continue to guide us and take us exactly where you want us to be. Thank you, and I praise you. Amen.
Hello. Just want to start off with some prayer just to get it, the mood right, you know, so if you wouldn't mind bowing your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning that you've given us to just bask in your glory, Lord, with the sun out and just giving us the opportunity to be here at chapel, Lord, and hear what you have for us, Lord God. I just pray for me and Emma, Lord. I pray that we would seek to glorify you and you alone, and that any fears or anxieties may be swept away from us, Lord God, because you're the God who lies us on green pastures and sits us beside still waters, Lord God. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so my name is Angel Oquendo. I'm a sophomore, part of the Beloved class. And I am a social studies education major, and I am a proud family member on Johnson Hall. Yes, sir. All right. A little bit about me. I grew up Cuban and Puerto Rican, and that's important because I didn't grow up Christian, let alone knowing who Christ was. To me, growing up, he was just some guy at the top of our door frame when we entered the house. Growing up in Louisville, I made a lot of friends of many different ethnic, racial, and spiritual backgrounds. Specifically, growing up, I had a lot of African friends who were Muslim. I always knew there was a God. I just didn't know who he was or what he was. So through time speaking with them about their beliefs, I came to the realization that Islam had to be the way. And through that, I spent most of my teen years following and believing in Islam and refuting Christ as my Lord and Savior, denying his divinity and that he was just a prophet. The key issue was that what I was seeking never was fulfilled. Never freed me from my anxiety, never freed me from my depression. No matter what I did, no matter how much I prayed, no matter how many good deeds I did, it never brought that fulfillment that I was seeking. Middle of COVID, my family, we moved to Bullitt County, right under Jefferson County, and I found myself surrounded by a whole new different group of people. A lot more homogenous group, not as diverse in terms of any background. And senior year, I was invited to FCA by someone. And I found myself over time going to FCA with that person. But not only that, after a period of time, I found myself going by myself. And later on, I was then invited to church to attend youth service. And the first day was a pivotal day in my life because it was the first time I had ever met faithful followers of Christ, people who didn't shun me, but rather loved me for who I was despite my not accepting Christ. That night, the youth pastor talked to me, pulled me aside to just introduce himself, and he asked me who I was, who brought me here, and what I seek being here. And I told him, plain and simple, that I believe Islam is the way and that I was willing to learn. And instead of my assumption of him shunning me and telling me to not come back, he invited me to come back and he connected with me. He walked me through questions about Christ's divinity and what it means to be a follower of Christ. And it all came to a pivotal point, March 1st, 2023, when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to explain the sermon that broke me down to that point. So it's based on the scripture, James 4:1-10, and I'm going to read that because I feel like that'll just put us in the mindset of that time. James 4:1-10. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says, the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I realized for the first time in my life that I was following the world, and that, based on the scripture, I was an enemy of God. But that isn't the end of the story. Christ calls us into fellowship with him. For the first time in my life, I felt like I had a home and I had a place at the table. I found the friendship that I was searching for my whole life. It was not transactional. For the first time, I found meaning in something other than myself and what I could do. And later on in my walk, I intended to attend Thomas More University, but through mentorship and prayer, the Lord led me to Asbury. And it became very clear to me through my freshman year that this was the place where I could grow in my faith. Through my Set Apart retreat, through Gather, through fellowship with hallmates, just random conversations in the middle of the night because we don't want to go to bed. And Christ calls us all to this place for a reason. Each one of us has a purpose here, whether we believe it or not. And this university gives us the opportunity to dig deep in our faith. And that's an opportunity not many of us get. So Christ calls us to dedicate ourselves to him, and he won't fail us. And I want to end this off with the scripture that I have tattooed on my forearm. It's Matthew 16, 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world, yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Christ calls us into fellowship with him, and we know this very well. Thank you.
Good morning, Asbury. My name is Emma Hearn. I'm a senior in the Ignited class and a proud member of Pike B in Aldersgate. Today, I get the privilege to share my story with you guys. I was born into a Christian family. I'm a pastor's kid, so I've basically known who Jesus was my whole life. But basically, I thought accepting Jesus into your heart was just a free ticket into heaven. So I was like, okay, that's fine with me. I'll accept Jesus. But I didn't really understand the relational aspect of knowing Jesus and accepting him into your heart. So I grew up hearing all these stories about Jesus, but never really getting to know him personally. And when I was 14, I went to a camp called Indian Springs and recommitted my life to Christ when I heard a message there. I realized that accepting Jesus was more than just a free ticket into heaven. It was a sweet friendship with him, and I wanted to commit my life to learning the rhythms of Jesus' heart, and I wanted to be a disciple for him the rest of my life, and I wanted to get to know him and have a relationship with him. And that evening, when I heard that message, he met me in a very personal way, and that changed the trajectory of my life. A year after I recommitted my life to Christ, my dad started to lose weight and get really sick. My dad is my favorite human ever. He filled my life with joy and laughter. I could talk to him about anything. He was my best friend. He's just a very special person in my life. We went to the doctors and tried to figure out what was wrong with him. And they diagnosed him with an aggressive stage 4 cancer. He had a 15-pound tumor in his abdomen. During this time, I was confused with God, who I accepted a year earlier. And I was kind of angry with him. And I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of trouble breathing. And I really doubted Jesus and what he was doing. By a miracle, my family found a surgeon who was willing to remove a 15-pound tumor. And By the grace of God and by a miracle, the surgeon was able to completely remove this 15-pound tumor from his abdomen. So my dad was in the hospital for about a month, recovering from this surgery. And in my mind, when he came home, my life would go back to normal and he'd be perfectly healed and joyful again, and I expected my life to go back to normal. But this was not the case. When my dad came home, he looked more sick than when he left, and he had no weight on his body, and he didn't have a lot of joy. I remember I was just so upset and confused. It wasn't what I expected, and I ran to my room and cried out to God and begged him to give me my old life back. I wanted my healthy dad back, and I would look at pictures of my family and just wish that my life was back to normal. And in the midst of my tears, I turned to my Bible, and God showed me Psalm 20, which I'll read to you right now. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give us victory to the King. Answer us when we call. And after I read that, I really felt Jesus' presence surround me like a blanket. Jesus heard my tears that night and bottled them up. In my deepest pit of despair, I was held by my Savior, and I felt an unexplainable comfort. So, following that moment, all throughout high school, my dad struggled with cancer. I watched him lose all his hair and saw his body fighting the chemo pumped into his bloodstream. 4 months after his initial diagnosis, my dad actually had no evidence of disease in his body, which that is a crazy miracle because the oncologist told us that the chemo wouldn't even work and that he had 3 months to live. His cancer was very rare, and basically the doctors told us we had no hope. But we trust in the great physician, Jesus, and he showed us a miracle like one in the Bible. God restored my dad's body, and I did get my old life back for a moment. And God worked in my family's heart, my heart, and in my dad's heart. My dad was so joyful from the Lord. He was so joyful that he would sing and dance around our neighborhood and sing hymns. And I just really saw the Lord's faithfulness during this time. During the ups and downs of cancer, the anxiety of monthly scans, and through the joys of my dad being cancer-free, Jesus revealed himself to me again and again. During 2020, my family obviously got to spend a lot of time at home together during COVID. COVID was actually a big blessing for me because I did get a lot of extra time with my family and with my dad. But sadly, in the summer of 2020, my dad started to have severe back pain. And in August 2020, the doctors told us that his cancer had came back, but it was in his spinal cord. The doctors told us there was nothing they could do. So we made the difficult decision to put him in hospice care. Although this time was extremely tough, Jesus met with me in a very unique way. He met me in the midst of the deepest grief and suffering. Jesus was the anchor I held on to. There was nothing else in my life I could hold on to but Jesus, and he was my support and strength. My dad laid in a hospital bed beside our glowing Christmas tree. Each night he would hold my hand and we'd sing hymns together. We also sang Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Even when my dad lost all mobility in his legs and in his waist, he would sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, how great thou art, there is sunshine in my soul," if you know that hymn. Seeing his faith while he was suffering so much inspired my faith greatly, even to this day. On January 30th, 2021, my dad entered into the Lord's arms. I can imagine that he was dancing and singing, and he was full of joy. God gave me an unexplainable peace that day. I knew that my dad was finally healed after a long battle of cancer for 4 years. I also knew that God was good, despite my circumstances. My dad was only supposed to live 3 months after his cancer diagnosis, but he lived 3 years. And someday I will get to see him again because of Jesus making a way by his death on the cross and defeating death forever. It has almost been 4 years since my dad passed away, and my life has definitely not been easy. I've struggled with depression and immense amounts of grief. A couple months after my dad passed away, God sent me to Asbury. And that has been one of the biggest blessings. God has met me here again and again, and he gifted me with the most beautiful friends who have walked this journey of grief with me and helped me bear my burden. I can stand here today and say it is well with my soul. Jesus has constantly met me when joy has abounded and also in the deepest wells of grief. He is my dearest father and my closest friend, and all of my joy comes from him. If you seek him, you will find him wherever you are. Jesus died on the cross for each of you and defeated the grave so that you could draw near to him in a relationship with him forever. He defeated death so that we could live with him forever and ever, and he calls us his children and his friend. I hope Jesus shows up in each of your lives like he has in mine. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.